Everyone, I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with midwifery business consultation. I have someone I've gotten the privilege to know the last month and a half, Melanie Yankee. She is an amazing midwife that I thought it would be going a different direction today, of talking about inspirational business startup ideas versus talking to midwives that already have established practices and we learn from. So Melanie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself today?
Hi, I'm Melanie Yank. I'm a certified nurse midwife and have been since 2008. So I'm a little unique because I've had several different careers in my life. I started out with nursing and of course, excuse me. I started out with nursing in the late 70s, early 80s, and I loved labor and delivery. And then I took some time off to raise a family. And during that time, I was a farmer and rancher in the Texas Panhandle. And I was always interested in plants and landscaping. And then after that, I moved to California and to the Santa Barbara area. And I was married to a landscape architect, which I really loved the work that we did. We designed and created sustainable gardens. And then I found myself after the Hurricane Katrina wanting to, well, first it started with the tsunami in Thailand. I happened to be in the northern part of Thailand and wanted to use my medical profession after being out of it for like 17 years or so to help. And I couldn't. And then the following year is when we were in British Columbia and the Hurricane Katrina came, and I decided I've got to be able to help some people. So I actually went and spent 6 weeks in New Orleans. 2 weeks after about 6 weeks of after the hurricane in New Orleans. And that was the key to me getting into midwifery school whenever I decided I wanted to go back to the medical profession. So I came to New Mexico in Albuquerque to go to UNM and just really enjoyed the program. And part of my master's thesis research was combining midwifery and landscape design, interior design. And so I did a I don't know if any of you heard it, but back in 2008, I did a session at the AABC conference in Tucson on the optimal birthing environment. And so I really am passionate about those spaces and being creative in a lot of ways, including landscape, interior design, jewelry. I do sculptural design, welding, all kinds of things like that. So I wanted to incorporate that into a space. And so when I had the opportunity a couple of years after graduating to become the clinical director at Dara Luz Birth and Health Center, which I opened with Abigail Lennon Eves, who is the executive director currently. And I retired from there just this past December of 2020. Anyways, we had the opportunity to build, to modify the building, and we were on an acre of land, and I got to do all the landscaping around there to create gardens that support birthing women. And so we had a half labyrinth. We had a pond that you walked across to get into the front door. And if you're interested to see any of the photos and tour, you can look at daraluzbirthcenter.org and the website. And so there's some virtual tours and everything. So I had a really strong hand in laying out how the rooms were going to function, where the toilets were, where the tubs were, the outside play area, the sustainable landscaping, so that I was the one taking care of the landscape, so I wanted it to be very low maintenance and reflect the flora of the native flora of the area. So I'm interested in helping others in those kinds of endeavors as well as consultations. I still do landscape consultations for a few friends and midwives around the community. And anyways, after working at Dara Luz for 10 years and helping start the practice, we had about 20 births. You know, we took 20 women a month, 20 due dates. And we were an accredited birth center. And along the way, we did that the first few months of opening, which was a huge endeavor. And I set up all of the EMR system, all of the forms, created that stuff that in MAC practice. So I have really good skills in doing all that.
Yeah, set up for 10 years, been a director of a birth center. So I'm curious, now in retirement, you wanted to find something that gave you, I'm assuming, not so much on call requirements as being a midwife. Right. So tell us about what school you're going to right now and what your business venture is that you're planning on doing in the next couple of years.
So, you know, we all have to change with the times. And yes, I am looking forward and enjoying not being on call. And so I was trying to figure out how I would transition my career, because I want to continue working, you know, for the next 10 or 15 years, but in a more limited basis or a more part-time basis. So I checked into just doing GYN and women's care. And while I was interested in that, the thing that came out of being at the birth center was that families wanted to continue their newborn care with us. And so we're unique from most midwifery practices, especially in hospitals, is that we actually took care of the babies for the first month. And I really enjoyed that. We had full lactation support. And so we had not made that a part of our business plan to continue with a pediatric practice, although that was the number one request on all of our surveys from clients, was we want to continue the midwifery model of care with our babies. And so that's kind of how my idea was born. And I decided to apply to the pediatric nurse practitioner program at UNM. And, you know, the timing was just right. It all fell into place where I was able to apply and get into a postmaster's certificate program with and joining the first year students in the second semester. So it'll take me a little over a year to finish my program, and I think it's going to work really well together. My intention is to continue to care for women, especially postpartum women with lactation support, and continue and give the pediatric care. So midwifery and pediatrics overlaps a lot, especially in adolescence and, you know, birth control and GYN and all of that kind of stuff. So I am, this semester I'm doing the adolescent, just some catch up on adolescent healthcare. And then in the summer, I will start well child and pick up some school-based health and, you know, COVID has kind of put a few of those kind of clinicals, made them not as accessible, because in New Mexico, schools still aren't in person. And I know maybe that may be different around the U.S. But so my dream is to open a, because I know there's no practices set up like this, so it's going to have to be a private practice. And having been in a nonprofit model of business, I realized that I didn't, all the work that I put in, I didn't build any assets. There's nothing there that I can sell. It was just goodwill and experience. So I want to make this a for-profit business model that can carry on and that I can build assets and potentially use for retirement if I sell the practice, and have midwives and pediatric nurse practitioners, maybe some family nurse practitioners, women's health nurse practitioners, give an option for midwives that are burnt out on being on call all the time, and give them a way to transition to still giving really amazing midwifery care to the family.
I think it's interesting because you bring up a good point of so much we dream about what kind of midwife we want to be, the starting side, but sometimes when you're creating your business, it's just as important to look at the exit strategies. Like, you realize now after doing it, the nonprofit maybe didn't have as much retirement options to you. Not saying one way is right or wrong, but just understanding that, okay, I've got to figure out some other revenue streams, other ways, or now you're going in a direction where you're still fulfilling your need. You're going to leverage the birth center experience, the family you take care of. You've got an amazing established clientele that are craving this. You already know the families you take care of well, but you're figuring out that niche to support your identity, where you are in life, and what you want to create. So I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, the lactation part is so important. And I've also taken the IBCLC training and should sit for the exam in April and May. So at the birth center, we actually were a milk depot for the Denver Milk Bank. And we had moms who we had screened that would donate, informally donate milk. And of course, we had consents and everything for that. And so we were able to support families in a way that pediatricians don't support, you know, as far as having intensive lactation support. And we also support in a way postpartum that most hospital-based practices don't support, because we would see, you know, of course, at the 24-hour visit, a three-day visit, so that we were evaluating breastfeeding and bilirubin management and any kind of issues with weight gain. And then at 2 weeks, we were doing all the newborn screenings and continuing to evaluate and make sure that these babies were gaining weight, and dealing with women with hypoplasia or low milk supply for whatever reason it might be, and getting them off to a good start by 4 weeks, and then handing them off to the pediatrician. Yes, there is a huge stream of revenue that if you are a birth center or a midwifery practice and you're not taking care of the baby, you're losing a lot of money.
Yeah, we did it with our birth center, and it was an average of each baby about $500 to $700 to do just that first month. And it helps, because I could tell the difference of the quality of the care, because they're a team with nursing. It's hard for you to give advice and support the mom, but then say, okay, talk to the pediatrician about XYZ going on, and you get conflicting. The moms get confused enough. So I think it's amazing, because there's so many midwifery practices out there. So many people think, oh, I've got to catch a baby to be a midwife. And there are the clinics that do menopause, that do lactation, that do infertility, that do pelvic floor. But I'd never heard the concept, at least in the United States, around the world, the postpartum period is taken care of much better than here. So I'd never, I liked the idea of fulfilling your love. And instead of choosing to do a family nurse practitioner to get very specialized on the pediatric side and just take care of moms and babies and continue that right start. So I know you're going to be very busy when you're out of school. And I would love for other midwives that maybe they have a young family or semi-retired, have some birth centers in their community. That's a great way for them to start a small business and support those families.
Right. And, you know, there's such a crisis, a mental health crisis in our country, and not enough providers to do that. So even in my studies yesterday of what should be included in a comprehensive visit for a pediatric client, they want to know the prenatal history. They want to know the birth history and any kind of you know, what happened in labor and birth. And so having an understanding of all of that is going to, I think, be an advantage. And it even mentioned that you, a pediatrician, should be asking about the mother's mental health in the first year of the pediatric visits, which is part of my goal. But if you're a pediatric nurse practitioner, all you can do is refer that mom to somebody else. And so if you can take care of both, address the mental health, and the dyad cannot be separated, especially in that first year. Everything that happens with the baby is affecting the mom and vice versa. So I feel like we could improve postpartum and newborn care by taking care of them specifically as a dyad for that first year.
I think the success rate of breastfeeding will get extended. Ina May Gaskin said it well, how well we take care of our mom and babies is a brand of what we think of our society and what we're creating for the next generation with the diabetes, the obesity, the heart disease. It all comes down to how our moms and babies are being taken care of. So I love that you're spearing right to the challenge of what I think a lot of midwives just don't think that direction. Like, how can I still be a midwife? And I see a need, see a challenge, and how do I fulfill it? So I give you kudos for jumping into a second additional degree while you're semi-retired in a new business venture.
Well, I'm excited to see what this turns into and what it looks like too. Of course, you know, and I may need to work in a regular practice for a year or two to be able to learn all the resources and everything and referral system in the community, and to feel comfortable with my skills and, you know, get a broad scope of things before you start your own practice, I think would be wise, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, there's different ways of getting support. You can get a business partner. You can get great colleagues you went to school with. There's so many ways to get support, but definitely learning what your style is. And that's part of that business planning side. You don't want to pick things because of the revenue, because that only gets you so far. That doesn't make you happy. So I'm so excited you've gotten that business foundation of this is what you love and how do I create a revenue stream around it. So,
well, the other advantage to thinking about midwifery in this way is, you know, my family all lives in the rural community in the Texas Panhandle, and, you know, my aging parents are there, and I thought, well, there's not the opportunity to deliver babies as a midwife there. So making yourself more diversified, you can still practice if you find yourself somewhere where they don't have a labor and a delivery, or the community is too small to support a birth center, or you don't want to be on call all the time to be a home birth midwife. You know, what other ways can you serve the community with all this knowledge that you have?
Well, I give you kudos, Melanie. I am so excited to see your amazing adventures, and we'll have to take your business model and replicate it all over the country, because I definitely think it's needed, the mental health, the postpartum support. We're lacking it terribly here. And so I'm very excited for you to finish school and get your business going. And yeah, definitely update with you in 6 months to a year, give you some time to get through school and figure out things a little bit more.
Yes. Well, thank you for being interested and sharing my enthusiasm about this this adventure. And I hope that this reaches some people that maybe are like-minded and we can work on things together.
Yeah, I'm gonna, if you're okay with it, I'll put your email at the bottom so they can communicate with you. And I think it's just my goal of these YouTube videos are to inspire, to connect great women together that maybe are thinking in the other part of the country, they have similar challenges to what you do. Why do we all try to do it ourselves? There's like, let's work together. Let's create these amazing practices and work as a team. Even if we've got the internet, it's not 1900 anymore. We've got these wonderful access of phone and email and resources. So let's utilize them. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing your knowledge and your inspiration to everyone. And we will talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, Leslie.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.